Hello, everybody. My name is Tanner Banks.
And my name is JJ Mangold.
And you're listening to our podcast, The Name Doesn't Matter.
That is right, ladies and gentlemen. The name really does not matter.
Hashtag TNDM. Sponsored by Slickster Magazine. Everything you like in one place. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our first episode of The Name Doesn't Matter. And today, we're going to be talking about some of the stuff going on around the internet, including the possible closure of the internet and the Game Awards.
Ooh, how exciting is that, ladies and gentlemen? First episode, and we're already talking about doomsday preparations. Ooh.
Ah, fuck me. But anyways, so obviously the big news for today and this week, really, in the past couple weeks, has been net neutrality and the FCC, with the vote from the FCC itself coming out that it was 3 votes for the repeal of net neutrality and 2 votes against the repeal of net neutrality.
What a wonderful time we live in.
Yeah, so for those of you that may not understand what that means, is the idea of repealing it is it takes away a special status for the internet, which treated it like a utility, like something like electricity or water, which meant that all internet traffic had to be kept equal. You couldn't say Netflix gets to have faster lanes because they have more. That's the reason a lot of people say it should be repealed, because, you know, things that are higher value should get faster speeds. The problem is some people believe that having corporations like Comcast, Time Warner Cable, and AT&T in charge of this is a bit worrisome, because I don't know anybody who's ever had a good customer experience with this kind of stuff. So
no, not me at least.
Or me. To be honest, not me either.
Not me, definitely. I mean, ooh.
And then there's also the fact that the current FCC chairman was a lawyer for Verizon, another internet provider.
What
so
a great time we live in.
So, yeah. So there's also been questions about, you know, ethics involved, and we're not going to get into that. You know, we don't really talk politics. We talk about just what's going on with this. And there's been a lot of controversy around the FCC chairman, Ajit Pai, because, well, a lot of people claim that he's a weirdo with stuff like the... I mean, you saw the video, right? The 7 things you can do once net neutrality is gone. It was like him, like, behind a green screen.
No, I didn't see that.
Doing fidget spinners and stuff. And it was, I was cringing the whole time.
Were you on a fever dream? Is that what it felt like? You just went too far down that rabbit hole? Did you take the red pill or the blue pill?
I didn't take either pill. I woke up with a cold sweat.
You woke up with that nightmare.
I woke up from that nightmare into another. But either way, that doesn't necessarily mean that the FCC is going to repeal net neutrality. They've simply voted for it. Congress has to vote for it as well. And there's a lot of very, very vocal opposition against it. No, we're not going to say who's doing what, because again, that's getting into politics. And you know, the only reason we're talking about this is because
aren't they already being sued for this already?
Yeah, several states are suing.
I know. Department of Justice was trying to do something as well.
Several state governments are suing, and the Department of Justice said that they're going to as well.
Yeah.
So, in that end, I mean, there's a large amount of opposition. And the only reason we're really broaching this subject is because this does affect us here at Slickster Magazine, because we're a smaller website, and
you will get throttled to death and it could put you out of business.
Well, I mean, let's not go completely doomsday, but if anything, it could be a major roadblock for us.
Well, of course.
So, I mean, in that aspect, yes. But it's really hard for us to really tell. But the thing is, it affects us. It affects us. It affects, you know, our streamers that we interview and talk to and we're friends with on Twitch, game developers.
You're going back to HTML basic. You're going back to the old Flash layout. You can't even use all the fancy stuff now.
Oh, man.
No one's going to have the internet to stream it.
You're
going to see a GIF run at like 3 frames per second. It's going to look like bootleg GIFs.
Oh, so you mean it's going to be on Tumblr?
Yeah, it's going to be Tumblr stuff. Now, if you're a gamer and you wonder yourself, you know, how is this person going to affect me? I don't use Facebook. Maybe you don't use YouTube and all that fun stuff. So you ask yourself, okay, how does this affect me in any way? So you think about, you know, computers. Who's the number one sales distributor? Steam. Now, aren't all those digital? We don't really make CD, DVDs anymore because that medium became too old to use and the games became so big for DVDs to even be practically functional. Now, what happens is all the physical copies you get, they're digital anyway. They just act as physical keys. You know, I put it into my X-Bone and it has to install from the network, which takes a while. You know, for me, I could get a data transfer about 60 to 100 megabits right now, which surprises me because I didn't know Spectrum was going to keep their promise of hiking everything up from all the old Time Warner standards. But you think about this in a post-Ajit Pai world where they're talking about the average person does not need any more than 5 megabits. We're going back to old AT&T, what I used to have about, what was that, 4 years ago now? And it'd take you days to download a game at that speed, and that's if you kept whatever machine on constantly running on the internet. You know, you have that problem, and now you're going to say, well, what about the independent developers? Won't they come save us? They've saved us from the big, bad AAA companies before. But here's the problem with that. They still rely on digital because physical media, you know, you got to pay a factory to manufacture all those discs and all those cases. So now you have them hiking up the rates for the game. So, you know, what if the indie game was going to be 30, now it's going to be 40 to 50 because we're going back to that way. And let's say the game happens to be bigger. Now you're going to have like two or more discs like we used to on PlayStation 1s.
Remember when Final Fantasy was like 5 discs on the PlayStation?
Yeah, it blew everyone's mind. They're like, 5 discs? Whoa, how big is this? You know, and that's just some things that people don't think about because, you know, the main thing we focus on is streaming services or, you know, shopping or social platforms. But, you know, you have a slow speed, you're not going to be able to game. And then think about, you thought your lag in multiplayer was bad before. You're going to be rubber banding and teleporting through all your games. I'm sure that's going to make games like Call of Duty and Overwatch just a perfect experience. 10 out of 10, IGN approved.
Well, the thing is, for larger companies, it probably won't be as bad because they will be able to just pay for the fast lanes.
Well, of course they could.
But the problem is,
they're going to raise the hike. They're going to hike the game prices up with that, too.
Well, that, and here's the thing. With this losing its status as a utility, that means it can't be protected, as we've mentioned. Mm-hmm. So that means that these companies have the ability to expedite and restrict access
they sure do.
To websites and services. So that means they can completely cut things off.
Oh, yeah, they can. They can shut you down completely.
And the thing is, in the law that is being proposed, all they have to do is report it to the FCC.
Yep, that's it. And who's to say those reports are even going to be accurate? Or
right.
Or let's say there's some specific information missing from it.
Well, kind of like how there's a lot of scrutiny going on right now with a lot of public comments being made on support of repeal of net neutrality, and a lot of these people are actually dead. Kind of like, well,
kind of like how they did with voting, how you have those, but that's a subject for another time.
And not on this podcast, but anyways, so
that's about as close as we'll ever get to the political side. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, to disappoint you.
Or probably relieve you because you don't want to hear another millennial's political opinion.
Oh! Man, jab at your own generation. Woo.
Listen, man, I got...
Don't you ever feel not like a millennial, though? I was born in 95. I feel like the cutoff was like 2003.
I always felt more like I was part of Generation Z. But, I mean, honestly, millennial just sounds like a dirty word at this point, but...
Well, yeah, that's because we make it a dirty word.
Point taken, but anyways, let's get away from dirty words and talk about dirty games.
Ooh, dirty
and by dirty games.
Ooh.
And by dirty games, I mean dirty business practice in video games. And with that, I of course mean Star Wars Battlefront 2, which you know, and with The Last Jedi being released, it's pretty good timing. So
wonderful. I mean, love that marketing.
Oh my god, the marketing and the loot boxes and the grinding for 50 hours just to get Darth Vader.
You know,
and the like having to invest $2,100 to get everything because it's so restricted.
Several thousand dollars needed. And who's to say even that? That what is that in a world if you got zero duplicates?
Yeah, that was zero. I think it was like including duplicates, actually.
Okay, well, if it included duplicates, that's more realistic. But let's say that that wasn't including duplicates, and you know, you just end up running into a ton of duplicates, and then that's just going to be all sorts of fun for your wallet. You're going to be draining that whole that poor thing and ever. You're going to be taking up two jobs, working 80 hours a week, just to get that Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker.
Oh, yeah. But, so, obviously, this has caused a gigantic shitstorm of problems, which, I mean, for me,
man, who didn't see
hilarious.
That coming?
Apparently, EA, but then again...
EA can't see past their shoes, apparently.
Well, I mean, to be fair, EA, like, just, they've made their money doing this for years. It's just, they didn't realize they finally went overboard.
Yeah, they pushed the envelope just a little too far. Watch this be like, they come out and be like, this was all a marketing ploy. Look, we're so popular around the world. I was like, all right, that's good for you, but you're going to take it to the road of ruin there, bud.
Well, it's already been to the road of ruin because, I mean...
How many countries and states recognize gambling as illegal now? For the loot boxes?
A lot of
Hawaii.
Belgium.
Belgium, because that was when Hawaii first said that. They were together on it.
Yeah, but this actually hurt their sales really badly. I mean, because they released before Call of Duty World War II, right?
Oh, yeah. I take that back. I think they bought it released a little bit after, but I know they had early access, I think, before Call of Duty came out for EA members.
So
if you want to pay into that, because that's a really good investment.
But by the way, so like there's MW2, there's all those names. Like, what do I call this one? Is it Wicked? WeCod? You know, World War II, Call of Duty.
If you want
WWIICOD.
Remember, the name does not matter.
Hey, hashtag TNDM. But anyways, so the thing is, Call of Duty has oversold Battlefront 2. Exponentially. Well, not necessarily exponentially, but multiplicatively. They've sold four times as many copies.
Oh, yeah. And so, who's to say if they're just counting physical sales or not? Because I know a lot of people, they only count physical copies and not digital.
It says here that they had 882,000 physical copies of Battlefront 2 moved, and then there were 4.4 million copies during the opening month of sales for Call of Duty World War II. So
that sounds about right.
So I'm thinking that's including digital, because otherwise that would mean that they've sold about five times as much.
Yeah, that'd be a lot.
Yeah. So,
but now let me preface this: I do own COD, but I do realize the glaring flaws within it and Activision. I'm not saying they're saints over here or anything.
No, I mean
they're gonna be the next EA, folks.
I mean, let's
if not already now.
Let's be honest. Neither game is that good. I mean, they're good, they're functional.
And they look good, but you know what we're getting into? We're getting into the Atari Jaguar again. Remember that whole stint? 64 bits, games gonna look so great. The games on the Super Nintendo look better.
I mean, I think it's a case of, like, everything is just turning into just...
What's more beautiful? How far can we push this engine? How many 4K TVs can we sell? How fast till 8K? You know, they're actually supposed to be introducing 8K next year for sports events.
Really? That's actually going to look dope.
They're trying. I think Sony's on that bandwagon. They're really... Because I remember they were talking about putting the Olympics out in 8K. I was like, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I'm really there.
I don't even
have a 4K TV yet, so that'll be a big jump. But they're not talking about that for a few more years to come, because not everybody's got a 4K TV still. Everybody still uses 1080p, which even that looks good on its own accord. If you have it like super clear, nice codec, and ultra settings for the gamer fans out there.
And the thing is, it's like, you know, with all this talk about graphics, it doesn't really matter because...
The game is shite.
And it's like this. All these games are turning into cheesecake. Just a straight up cheesecake. It looks nice. It's well made. You can tell that there was effort put in, but it's bland.
It sure is.
And then you add this shitty business practice.
Oh,
here's the
my
thing.
Favorite part.
Star Wars Battlefront, the original remake.
The original remake, so what had was that, 2015?
Yeah, 2015. I mean, yeah. It had its own issues when it came to stuff like this.
It sure did. How about that season pass that gated its player fan base off from each other?
And it still managed to sell 15 million copies.
Yeah, because it was popular at the time, and we haven't had one since, what, 2004?
Yeah, I still maintain that Star Wars Battlefront 1 was better, but I'm in the minority with that. But I mean,
well, of course you are. I agree. I mean, it was really fun. I enjoyed it. I remember playing it online for the PS2 for the first time. I thought it was amazing.
But I think that's the thing is these games are losing their sense of wonder, and they're being changed out for the sense of how can we increase our stockholders' equity. And the thing is, EA's, I mean, their stocks tanked.
Well, they sure did.
I think it was like a 5% drop or something like that, which EA's a fairly stable stock, their beta is really low, and dropping 5% over the course of a
day
or a week. Yeah.
That hurts the bottom line. You know, there's investors that are probably like quaking a little bit, wondering, where's all the money?
And the thing is, we understand that at this point in the game, the game of video games,
the game of life,
that microtransactions are just a part of it. I don't think anybody's particularly happy about it outside of the investors and, you know, the executives. But for a lot of the gamers, we understand, listen, microtransactions are a part of the game.
Unfortunately.
The major problem is when you include loot boxes, random chance, and then you include the fact that it affects your ability to play the game. Here's a great example.
Oh, yeah, that's the best part.
Here's the thing. Okay, Overwatch's Winter Wonderland event is happening right now. They have two of those three problems.
Right.
Their microtransactions and the loot boxes.
Yep.
It does not affect you in how you play the game. Yes.
But 2 out of 3 is still a pretty bad score.
Yeah, and people scrutinize it. But the thing is,
right?
Just because I have the new Orisa emote where she opens up a present and a puppy comes out, that does not mean I'm going to play any better than you if you don't have it. Whereas if you get lucky with your loot box, and let's say we both spend $30 on loot boxes.
Right. Just for fun.
Right, $30 on loot boxes after we paid, what is it, $60?
For a shell game. It's not even the full game anymore, because now you got to buy Season Pass of DLC for that full game.
Right, so, I mean, we're talking, what, $150 minimum?
Oh, yeah, you look at Ubisoft Golds, the full, they're minimum $120. I'm not kidding, I think I saw the new Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Fighter, whatever they're calling it.
Oh, my God, I want to play that game so bad, though.
Did you see how much that gold is?
Uh-uh.
It's like $150.
Fuck that.
At least, don't quote me on that now. I saw it in the Microsoft store. I was like, what are they giving me? Are they giving me, like...
Do I get to voice a Dragon Ball Z character now?
Right. Do I get to take over for Krillin? I mean, I guess I'll shoe spot Krillin.
Vegeta!
Then again, I think he needs the work, so I'll let him have it.
But, I mean, it's just when it comes down to chance about whether you get a good weapon, a good loadout, that's bullshit.
Yeah, it's awful. Who wants to play that? I mean, yeah, it's like, oh, your sense of pride when you unlock that, it'll be so good. Like, no. You know what that's called? Leveling up.
No.
You play the game and you earn it through the level up system. Don't give me that, oh, loot boxes, it's all just cosmetic or... You'll feel that sense of pride for owning that new weapon. I was like, yeah, but it took me forever, and I don't care. It's just a new weapon because I got sick and tired of using the starter. And I'm going to get sick and tired of using the next one.
Yeah, and if they want a sense of pride, they can get lick it off my nuts.
Yeah, right, that's what I'm saying. But, you know, and then, you know, they talk about, like, the reason they had to do it that way. I was like, oh, so there was a reason. Okay, so how fair is it that if I do microtransactions, for example... What if I got the Boba Fett power that makes me completely immune to gun damage while I'm using the jetpack? How fair is that? And let's say you've been playing the game for, you know, 5 days, like actual in-game time, and I just bought it yesterday, and I'm already just destroying people with this ability whenever I get Boba Fett. And, you know, it's just like, why even bother playing? Because you have, and there's the same problem on Grand Theft Auto. I'm going to talk about that for a minute.
Dude, you got the floor.
GTA and I have an interesting relationship when it comes to 5. You know, I thought people gave the story mode flack. You know, the characters were a little odd. Some people didn't like how it flowed. I thought it was fine. You know, all three of them had really nice story arcs for me personally. And then there's the online part. Who remembers GTA Online 1.0, the broken version, where games barely loaded, you couldn't join the match, and when you did, everyone would ghost out, lobbies would get disbanded. I mean, it's like that for me now. You know, I have what I like to call good internet. I have no problems with any other game, but for whatever reason, GTA Online always wants to drop me for unknown network error, although everything's fine and every other game works perfectly. And I'm just like, you know what it is? Grand Theft Auto knows I've never bought a microtransaction before, and they're making me just hate not having the brand new free, in quote, free DLC stuff. So they're waiting for me to buy that shark card so that I can finally play this game. And, you know, you look at that. Doomsday Heist just came out Tuesday.
It looks good.
It does, if I could play it. And then here's the problem, though. I got a friend who's on Xbox, and he plays it to death. He's been playing it since the 360 iteration when it first came out. You know, he's well-to-do. You know, I'm like, oh, man, you know, Tuesday after work, I'm going to play this brand-new heist. It's going to be fun. And what do I see? A phone call pop up in the in-game cell phone from one of the in-game characters saying, you need to buy a minimum 1,250K facility for only that heist. That's over $20 for a microtransaction in GTA funds, if I'm not mistaken.
Or at least five heists themselves, which, like, I mean...
Well, no, the pack standard heist, which is the highest one, I think the most you can make is 200,000.
Okay, so...
Well, yeah, five times. But
five,
no, six times.
Six or seven times. And that's assuming
on,
you get it right every time.
And that's on hard and not having the person shot, which you need to do some game exploits for. Like the old... it used to be someone would go to their safe house nearby and get an armored car, and then they would park in front of the door... Banker or the guy holding the money would jump right in. They drive straight to the end of the objective. If you did it normal, you know, you're going to get shot. You're just getting shot at from which direction. And I'm like, oh, man, what a great game mechanic. If I get shot in this game, my bag magically gets these holes big enough to drop money, because that makes a whole lot of sense.
And I think the biggest issue with that is, like...
It's a game. Let it go.
Well, it introduces this concept of grind to play.
One of my favorite part ever.
And here's the thing. Diablo 3 is a great example of where you have to grind, but it's a game mechanic to be played as.
Right.
Like, you do it so you can play. With these games, they're using grinding as a way to discourage people from playing the game and to simply invest more money
into the game. It's a service, remember? It's not a game anymore. It's a service.
I hate that shit. I mean,
I do too. It's a service, remember?
Well, that was the reason why I originally was never going to play on Steam, was because I didn't, and technically still don't, own my games. Because it's DRM. And I still think it's bullshit, and that's...
My favorite.
We'll table that conversation for a little bit, but I mean, it's...
Did you hear about the Sonic Fan Fighter game or the fan game that had a malware as DRM?
No, I did not, but I'm not surprised. Well, speaking of which, wasn't it Angry Planes, the mod on GTA 5 that had a massive worm in it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Something like that. But yeah, that was juicy.
Juicy. It was greasy sweet.
Get that sizzle going, baby.
Speaking of sizzle, let's talk about the games that sizzled and fizzled at the Game of the Year Awards. Now,
I will preference this by saying I did not watch them. I'm sorry. I work 50 to 60 hours a week. I didn't even know when they were coming.
And you work third shift.
I sure do.
So, but I mean, let's be honest.
I got the highlights, I suppose. It's okay.
Award shows don't matter. You just want to know who won the awards. This is one of the more prestigious ones.
Just read it the next morning. It'll be okay.
Because, I mean, I'll be honest. I only stayed for the actual awards. I didn't pay attention to any of, like, the streamer awards or any of the other stuff they were doing. Because, I'll be honest, I love talking to streamers. I love Twitch and all that. When I'm watching the game award shows, I don't give a shit.
Games.
I don't give a shit about anything other than who won the games.
I mean, that's what the award is for. I mean,
exactly.
I mean, it's games. I mean, why we gotta do this? You know, we gotta be crazy with it.
Yeah. So the first thing is we'll talk about is obviously Game of the Year award. I don't think anybody was really that surprised. The winner was Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
Oh, nice. I mean, what else was it going to be? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if you think about Nintendo, you know, people give them crap, but they're the last company, really, that still has games as fun and not as a service. But if you look, when they partnered with Ubisoft for Rabbids, they now have a season pass and DLC that you can pre-order.
Right, like I'm going to get a fucking Rabbids DLC season pass. But the other games that were nominated, and here's the thing, this showcases that there are still extremely strong games out there.
There sure are.
Horizon Zero Dawn,
yeah.
Persona 5, yeah. Super Mario Odyssey, and then PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, otherwise known as PUBG. Now, an interesting thing to notice, and I'm going to talk about PUBG in a minute, is the fact that most of these games are single-player games, because people are talking so much. So many developers and executives are saying, single-player games are dead. Fuck you, no they aren't.
They're
Are you kidding
right.
me? I mean, they're dead in the sense that you want to tell me they're dead, but guess what? That thing's still living, breathing, and kicking your ass, so I'm going to play these games just the same way that Skyrim, to this day, is one of the most fun games I've played. Yes, it's buggy. Yes, it's had its problems, but guess what? It's still one of the best times I have ever had playing a game compared to any multiplayer game outside of maybe Overwatch. Maybe. But right. anyways. So, I mean, it's fair to say that you know, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild was the game of the year. I mean,
if you think about it on a technical Marvel standpoint, it is a fully fledged game you can play on the go, and it still looks very nice, and, you know,
it's gorgeous.
The system can hold up, though. I mean, the way they did it, the art style was really cool. I mean, it reminded me of, like, Wind Waker, the cell shaded and all that, and, you know, just think about that. It's like playing it on your tablet, and it's a fully-fledged console game, and now we have Doom 2016. Yeah, I know the frames drop when you're in intense firefights, which can really affect you because, let's be honest, it's a fast-paced FPS. But, you know, just think about that. Zelda Breath of the Wild, how big that map is.
It's gigantic.
And it's a mobile game, basically.
Well,
it's not mobile, but...
But that's actually something good to talk about, and I think this is going to be one of the reasons why Nintendo is going to keep winning Game of the Year awards in this current generation.
And all those detractors will be proven wrong.
The Switch is the perfect, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is the perfect example of why the Switch is great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a launch title. They knew they had one of the best games in possibly a decade.
Well, they had to make up for the Wii U being such a gigantic flop.
Well, it was a business flop, but the games were okay.
Wii U. They just tried to implement the gimmicks too much.
But this is not a gimmick. This is just straight up.
Well, yeah.
And that's the difference. But, I mean, okay. The gameplay is great. Good story. I mean, you can always appreciate a good story. Nothing fantastic or mind-blowing out of Nintendo.
Right.
But they love to play with those
Look
classics.
Look at Mario's story. Bowser steals Peach. Boom. Go get her.
This
time with hats. But
TF2 edition.
But they're heralded as these masterpieces most of the time.
But to be fair, I mean...
It's the gameplay that makes it for those.
Yes.
Especially. So you don't have to have, like, an excellent story. Let Call of Duty be your prime example for that. Well, except for the three Modern Warfare games. That was actually a fun three-game story arc.
Yeah.
But some of them just get weird.
It was weird because...
who remembers Homefront?
Yeah, Homefront was the one I was going to mention because Homefront had one of the war book
Red
writers.
Dawn.
Red Dawn. That
Red
was
Dawn.
It. He had the writer for
and
Red
it
Dawn
flopped.
Do it.
The game did anyway.
Whereas the original Modern Warfare series, that felt like a Tom Clancy novel series. But anyways.
It was great.
Okay, if it wasn't going to be Breath of the Wild, who do you think should have won Game of the Year?
PUBG.
Fuck you! Fuck you! Okay, hold on.
Uh-oh.
You started this tangent early.
Oh no. Oh no, here he goes. Look out, kids.
PUBG is not a fucking game. Why? Because it's an early access. It's not done. It's not completed. It is still buggy as hell.
Look at the way it runs.
Features missing. The amount of hackers, the amount of shit that I have to deal with, writing for the game, talking to streamers, playing the game myself, it is ridiculous. And they're charging, I think it's like 30, 40 bucks. Fine, 40. 40 bucks.
Yeah.
Fair enough, but it is not finished. And they just released the discs for Xbone.
Doesn't that make you feel good? Remember, it's just a key, though, so that disc is worthless. But it's still physical, so it looks good on your shelf.
And
it's an early access game. Ooh, scary.
If a game is an early access, it does not belong anywhere near Game of the Year awards.
No, it can't, because there's not enough there. What is it, one map? I think I saw a second one now.
Yeah, and here's the thing.
And that's a test server still.
And here's the thing.
Here's the thing, folks.
Both of those maps are incredible. The game is amazing,
when it functions.
But it's not finished.
No, not by any stretch.
And that means it's in beta. It's not finished. Yeah. It's not early access. It's alpha. It's beta, et cetera. Whatever you want to call it, it's unfair not only to all the other games that are actually finished.
Right. That earn their spot.
But to PUBG itself, for this reason. Let's say when the game is at 1.0.
Right.
Finished. And you can still update it. Fine.
They're not at 1.0 yet. They're still in the O points.
Yeah, because 1.0 means, like, finished.
Right. I don't play the thing. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. But anyways, it's unfair to it because once it gets to that completed point, bugs are fixed, don't have to worry so much about the hackers, more maps, then here's the thing. PUBG will deserve Game of the Year award at some point, but not right now because it's not finished and it's not fair to the people who are at Bluehole who are working their ass off for this game. And Player Unknown, the guy behind this, he said, don't vote for this game. It's not finished.
Right.
And
like, stop it! It's streamer hype.
It is.
You know, a lot of the stuff. I mean, you look at these games, and it's like, okay, I see the premise. You know, it's one map. You know, you got specific guns. You know, okay, battle royale. You haven't seen a battle royale game in forever. I can't remember the last one, to be honest.
H1Z1.
Oh yeah, that's right. But you look at these games, and they're buggy as all hell. I remember watching people spawn in, and none of the buildings were there. It was just a flat plain.
It was like classic GTA 3.
Yeah, and it's just broken. And then, you know, you got all the fun hackers and aimbots. Those are great. But then how about the Asian community, like in China, where Bluehole told them, oh, just get a VPN. That'll fix your problem, because they couldn't connect properly because there was no setup for an Asian server.
Well, they've fixed that now.
Well, yeah. But I remember that was a big to-do at the time. I was like, really going to make people buy a VPN?
Well, they need a VPN.
What, are you hosting it as well?
Well, to be fair, Chinese players typically need a VPN.
Do need a VPN. Oh, yeah.
But that's,
You know what game I want from China? Call of Duty Online. It is an actual Activision product, free to play. I have it downloaded. I need to install that thing and see if I can even get it to run properly because it is better than anything American Activision is putting out. Call of Duty World War II, fine. I like the fact that it went back to boots on the ground. You know, I have some fast reflexes, but Infinite Warfare drove me absolutely nuts. I was like, can we please keep the wall running to Titanfall? Advanced Warfare, I'll say it. A lot of people don't like it. I say it's the best Call of Duty game in years ever since the Modern Warfare's. Everyone heralds the Black Ops series. I'm like, yeah, but they ripped a lot of things out. Oh, it's got dolphin diving. Okay, how many times are you going to dolphin dive in a game? What's it going to really do for you? I mean, I do it now in World War II because it's actually useful.
Right.
But, you know, you sit there and, you know, that was the whole start with laser weapons and jetpacks. And if you want to get really technical, that was the first Call of Duty game to really hammer some microtransactions after a few months of its release when advanced supply drops started being a thing. But the thing about it is you got supply drops pretty frequently sometimes. And, you know, the weapons, you know, you have these games, and I used to complain about, you know, there's not a lot of weapons, like Battlefield Hardline before any DLC, how limited it was to just Battlefield 4. You can make the argument, okay, why need all the weapons? Well, usually a lot of people, they love that idea of choice because it could be something that they want, and it's just special for them. Sure, they might be the only person that uses said weapon or tactical ability, but it's still there for them. So I was always a fan of a game with just a big arsenal, just to make it fun, and it looks fuller, because when you have a small arsenal, the game just looks unfinished, unpolished, and it makes it feel like you're playing a shell or a beta. That number I would expect from a beta, like two weapons, like, you know, the Battlefront 2 beta, two weapons. But,
and that goes into the PUBG thing about how, I mean, just give, when it comes to considerations for this, and games in general, let the game be finished. It's okay to make us wait.
Of course, that's the thing. You know, they want to release it now, patch it later. But you get so much flack for that, and then you sour everyone's taste when it's broken. That all they want to do is just play and connect, and we would be willing to wait. Some people might not be willing to wait, but that's a minority. And then when the game comes out, it's going to be fine. They're going to be like, oh, man, that actually was worth the wait. I can't believe it. The game works, and it's just flawless.
It's business. It's business over art. But anyways.
They don't care about you. Remember that, kids. They well, never have. Google does not care about you.
So, I mean, and that's just our stuff on PUBG and games that are just unfinished in general. So going off on the whole idea of indie games always having the best story, that's actually what happened here with what happened to Edith Finch, because...
Ooh, how exciting.
I mean, it was a walking simulator, let's be honest.
Yeah, let's get real for a second here.
But at the same time...
They work, too. I mean, if you tell a compelling story, someone will play it.
Well, hell, look at Gone Home.
Gone Home, console edition. I remember when that came out for the X-Bone. I love how they had to do console edition, though. I thought that was a hilarious name.
Oh, personally. My God, yeah. Gone Home, console edition.
Everything has to be an edition now. You ever notice that?
Well, I mean, do you know why it was a console edition?
There was, it wasn't meant for consoles originally.
Well, that and because they snuck a bunch of potatoes everywhere in the house.
Oh, and I think I saw a couple of bones in the closet, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, you talked about this a lot too. Indie games don't have a lot to work with, you know.
Yeah, it's limited
because
they don't have all the resources a AAA company can shell out millions of dollars for.
And like with art direction and style, like
they really have to stand out on that front to just compete anymore. It feels.
Because, I mean, there's like 1,000 different games with pixel style. But
I remember when that used to be a big draw tag, and it's like, hey, we got pixel art. And now it's just like, oh, yeah, you're one of what now? 1,000? 1,500? I mean, it looks good. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure you had to put some work in on it, but, you know, you gotta try it eventually. Try something new. Make a 16-bit style game. Ooh.
Well, hell's bells. I mean, look at Shovel Knight. I mean, that was a game that was among the first to do pixel style, in my understanding.
And that was heralded and became an amiibo.
But, I mean, to be fair, even today, it looks great.
It holds up.
And that's the weird thing is we're talking about pixel graphics holding up
that
compared
like
to...
from 1985 compared to these big 3D-generated... This I love the commercials. This is the in-game engine at work for like Battlefront and Battlefront 2. I'm like... and I bet you $20 it still doesn't look like that in the game.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, that's the whole thing, is it doesn't have to look new, it just has to look well done. And that actually goes into the idea of best art direction, and just the game that looked the best. So, God, though, it's weird, though, that there's, like, score, music, but then there's audio design.
Right.
And that's, like...
those are two different beasts.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, there's the swelling orchestra, and then there's getting
the Foley artist.
That perfect stepping on the leaf crunch.
You know, I never thought about it. I didn't know how they did the... I always thought about headshot sound effects, and I read up that the way they did it for, like, World at War is they took a hammer and they smacked a helmet and then cracked a piece of cellar. I was like, oh, okay, that actually makes a whole lot of sense. And then I was hearing about Doom... The Mancubus, they like stuck a mic in tomato soup and did this crazy stuff to get that real gushing effect. I'm like,
well, you know what they
did? Pretty clever, and they actually use like these old Russian MIDI control decks to get that nasty sound. I'm like,
I got one for you.
You do try. I'll give you that.
Overwatch, their headshot sound comes from like bottle caps getting pinged off of the glass bottles.
Oh, that makes sense.
Ding 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 ding. That's why it's got that real, and it's so satisfying.
Yeah, it's that ping that you get.
And that goes into why audio design is so important.
It
now,
sure is.
Surprise, surprise, Destiny 2 got invited again, and they lost.
Oh, man, I can't wait to hear the 30 different Magnum sound effects.
And then the other games were Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice. That was the one with the Celtic lady that I mentioned.
Yeah.
That was the winner. And then their other games were Super Mario Odyssey, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Those games got nominated for just about everything, for good reason.
Oh, yeah, they were good.
But then, here's the one that I want to talk about.
Oh, do you?
Resident Evil 7.
Ooh.
Biohazard. Because, well, you have a lot of it. You have more experience in the Resident Evil series.
What a good comeback from Resident Evil 6, if I do have to say so myself.
Well, I mean, the Resident Evil 6 sucked. It was another game that was technically sound, but bland as cheesecake.
Oh, yeah, and it was the RE engine, I believe. That's when they introduced it. They went on their own tangent for Capcom, but... It was just a game that tried to be everything for everyone, but pleased no one. Because I've played that thing, and I'm actually replaying it again on the bone to enjoy the full 60 frames per second. Thank you. And, you know, I'm just like, oof. I had more love for this back in 2012 when it came out. Because I got suckered in with the Leon campaign. I'm a Leon fanboy. Yeah, because my first Resident Evil was 2 back in... I was way too young, actually. I think I was 6 years old when my buddy gave me the game. He's like, oh, yeah, have it. I don't play it. I'm, like, actually running away being scared.
I never played the Resident Evil series.
That's okay. They're good.
I'm sure it is, but...
You want to play a fun one? I recommend 6.
Yeah, sure. But the whole thing is, like, the sound... Like, Resident Evil 7 was actually scary.
Yeah, that's what they went. They went for a survival horror theme this time, again.
Which is what it needed to be.
Well, that's what it started as. Yeah, it needed to be, because I saw it with 5, and a lot of people saw it with 4. I did, too. That action transition. But even 4 had its moments where...
4 was pretty creepy.
Yeah.
Pretty, I mean, but...
Dr. Salvador.
Now, quick question, though. Are you going to play the VR version?
If it comes out on PC, I actually want to do get an HTC Vive for my new rig, and I want to check it out.
Because, I mean, the game...
I've heard some good things about it.
If a horror game is good enough to get Best Audio Design nomination...
And we're talking through anything, like your generic TV speakers, your surround system. Now, just imagine that on a decent pair of headphones. Just, it's in your ears, and then you got the game right on your eyeballs in a VR headset. You might cry. Just maybe. I'm not sure. You might be more brave. I'm pretty brave, I like to think, but, you know, you never know. And the game itself, I mean, the RE engine, it looks good. I mean, it's really polished, it looks clean, everything looks like it should. And just, you know, the problem is, and I've made this argument, I've heard other people, you know, you make all these graphics look pretty, and then you just take away the horror effect. Let the good example of limitation be with, like, Silent Hill 2. All that fog was
Or the original Silent Hill.
Or that, yeah, all that fog, that's draw distance fog. I mean, let's remember all that. I mean, that was just limitations of the system itself. So, you know, you have all that. And then you have Resident Evil 7, because, you know, they make fun of games that are all brown, like all the CODs. And I'm just like, you know, for a survival horror game, you can't have it be too colorful or too pretty, because then you're just like, man, this game looks gorgeous. And then you're not immersed anymore. You're just looking at it from a technical aspect. Where with 7, it felt nice. I mean, the environments looked as they should. They were dirty. They were gritty. They were colored darkly.
Look at Outlast 2. It uses two colors, black and green. Looks fantastic.
Yeah, it looks great.
But it doesn't, but anyways.
But you have your moments where you see the game in full color without the camera on.
Yeah.
And even that looks great.
But it's not like, let me sniff this leaf.
Right. Or how about, let me look at this piece of paper and then rotate it when there's nothing on the back. What was the point of me rotating it, the order?
I don't know. Winners for and then after that with the award was best performance. That was like best mocap and voice acting performance.
Oh, there you go. That'll be exciting.
Melina Jurgens from Hellblade, she won, which is no surprise. I mean, that was another game that you could tell there was going to get a lot of awards. It's kind of like a movie that's just total Oscar bait. Like,
and it seemingly came out of nowhere.
I didn't
hear anything about it until it released.
Yeah, pretty much.
All I knew it was Ninja Theory, who did DMC Devil May Cry. We all know how well that went down.
You really did not like it, did you?
Oh, no, I do.
Oh, you did?
I played it on the... I played the Definitive Edition. The game is solid. The characters are just
little off.
They're not canon, really. Because they took Virgil from a good swordsman to a gunslinger, sort of, and it's just weird.
Yeah. But, I mean, you look at these other people, and I mean, this is more for people who are really into mocap capture and mocap capture. That's
mocap capture. There you go.
That's like saying the El Camino, but or
there you go,
or voice acting. The other people that were nominated
were
Ashley Birch for Horizon Zero Dawn, Brian Bloom with Wolfenstein: The New Colossus, Claudia Black and Laura Bailey in Uncharted: The Lost Legacy.
There you go.
That's one of the hardest ones for me to pick, just because so many different games have such amazing voice acting. I think the big thing is because of the kind of
presentation,
the topics that were being dealt with
in
Hellblade,
yeah,
there's a reason why it demanded more. And actually, that kind of goes into the next thing, which is games for impact. Now, these were games that were about sending a message, kind of like maybe the most technically perfect film isn't the movie that sends the best message. Like, for instance, Avatar.
Yeah.
Technically beautiful, amazing.
It's beautiful, but there's like...
It's a shit movie.
There's no substance. Whereas, just, hey, look at this, guys.
These are games that are about the substance. Now, Games for Impact, a lot of these were indie titles.
Aren't they always anymore?
Pretty much. The nominees were Bury Me, My Love, Hellblade, Life is Strange, Before the Storm,
nice.
Night in the Woods, Please Knock on My Door, and What Remains of Edith Finch. So we're seeing a couple names that we figured. I was surprised Life is Strange didn't win.
Right.
Because
I've heard that that's actually a nice story.
Great story. Well, the thing is, it's like, I mean, that's the kind that totally baits these kinds of awards.
Right.
Now, Hellblade won again, and I think the other thing is it's because a major topic these days is mental illness. Fair enough. I think that this is the kind of thing where...
I can get down with that.
I think that this is a case where really all of them could have won, and I don't think anybody would have been really that mad.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, we got to pick one, guys. Just pick straws, I guess.
More. Yeah. Now, after this was best ongoing game. And we're...
Ooh, ongoing? Ooh.
So these are games that are continually updated, typically games that have a competitive aspect to it.
Is a Ubisoft game on there?
Yes, that would be Rainbow Six Siege. Now, the games in this one were Destiny 2, Go Away, Grand Theft Auto Online. Kind of surprised because I've heard more criticism than anything about their ongoing.
Let me be that detractor for you.
Warframe.
Oh, yeah, that had a nice update, actually.
Mm-hmm. Rainbow Six Siege, like, because all of the new operators and stuff.
You know, I felt like I just purchased it Tuesday. They released the Season 3 pass for you to buy.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, it's right on schedule. I might get it. I don't play it enough to grind for 25 to 50,000 renown. That kind of takes a while, kids. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That is a good game, and I want to support it because, let's be honest,
it's
one of the best esports shooter next to, like, Overwatch. But for me, it just feels like it's overlooked.
Yeah.
It's too military. It's like Call of Duty.
It's...
Stop comparing it to Call of Duty. Call of Duty is its own thing now.
You should, if
just
it's going
like
to be compared.
People who still compare Battlefield and Call of Duty. They're totally different now.
I think at this point, it's better to compare it to something like CSGO. But
there you go. What a great game.
The other games that were nominated. Oh, shade.
Ooh, shots fired. Look
were
out.
Overwatch.
Do you even CSGO, bro?
God.
I'm going to get shot, aren't I?
You're going to get shot. You're going to get shot with a deagle. Headshot deagle for the clutch.
I'm going to get opped. Oh, man. Look out, me.
Oh.
I don't like your community, but you can argue the Call of Duty community is trash.
Let's be honest. Most gaming communities are trash.
Yeah,
but
they are trash.
Speaking of trash gaming communities, the other two.
Is that an award?
the other two nominees were Overwatch and PUBG.
Oh,
now,
man, I bet that was great.
Overwatch won Best Ongoing Game. Here's the thing. The Overwatch world itself is just so much more expansive. I mean, they've got their own league. There was the Overwatch World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all this stuff going on. Like, that's why. And I'll be honest. Right. I still don't like the fact that PUBG is on here. Out of principle.
No, you don't.
But at the same time, in terms of an ongoing game, you can see it because
they're still actively developing, trying to get it to that 1.0 status.
Right. So, but I think that Overwatch, it was the clear winner in this. I don't understand how Destiny 2 is even on this one because
it's
the game.
Destiny 1.5.
Didn't it just release? Like, didn't it release like a month ago or something?
A month or two.
Yeah, 2 months ago.
It was surprising because they already had the Osiris DLC out. I was like, ooh, that was fast.
That doesn't make sense to me. Rainbow Six Siege, I think, is a good example of a game that's continuously balancing itself.
They actually want to do like 50 operators on each side.
I think
that's
going to
take a while. It's going to take a while because they do like 4 each year.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to bump it up. They want to reach that 50, but they're committed because they say like, we don't want to make a new game. We want to make the game we have now. It already works. The engine already works. We just want to add to it and keep supporting it. Because let's be honest, it's going to be a lot less money, time, and resources to just keep adding to a game that's already polished, and they're constantly rebalancing it. And
rebalancing it well.
And, yeah, rebalancing it well. You know, all the hitboxes are fixed. The physics get fixed. All the graphic inconsistencies and frame dipping can get fixed and do. And, you know, they just add a little bit of flair. You know, they do item rebalancing. Like, now a few more operators now have, like, grenades in their disposal instead of just, like, a deployable shield or a barbed wire if you're a defender, which is nice. I mean, it's good to have, like, a nice difference and tactical advantage for offensive on a defensive side. And, you know, then you have characters, operators that aren't so useful anymore. I don't see anyone really using IQ as much. She was used for Legion a lot because she was the only one that could see it. And then they do stupid stuff. I hate when they did the Capcan, when they brought up this new White Noise, or just before Capcan. He has IEDs that he can put in the door that are laser trip mines. The laser is now invisible, but it's not an instant kill. So he could maybe kill a one armor, half health for two armor, and then about a third for three armor. So it just, to me originally, I was like, ah, man, that just nerfs him to death. But I'm just like, you know what? Give him, like, one extra IED then to lay down.
You know what, though? That's the thing, though. And this is unprecedented, in my opinion, for Ubisoft. They never support a game after it's released.
No, they don't.
Look at the Assassin's Creed series.
No, they don't.
So, kudos to them. I don't know why I'm giving them kudos. It should be expected, but still.
Do you feel dirty for saying that?
Not really.
You know what else
Here's the thing. I can call a spade a spade. What's up?
You know what else is getting support? Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Really?
They're going all in on Ghost War. They just released a separate Ghost War season pass a few weeks ago or last month. They're now doing that 4v4. I mean, let's be honest. If any game wanted to really compete with PUBG, not Fortnite, it would be Ghost Recon. The game's map is already set up. The characters and weapons are already there, and the vehicles are already there. The physics are already there.
I think Fortnite could.
Fortnite, yeah. But if you want something that's more akin to that style.
Yeah, stylistically.
PUBG,
I see what you mean.
Stylistically wise. If Ubisoft would just pay attention and they make a Battle Royale mode, that thing will be selling like hotcakes. But, that would have only been really if PUBG never came to console. But now that they have, at least Xbox for now, I think there's going to be a PS4 release, right? This is a timed exclusive, I believe?
Timed exclusive is my understanding.
Man, who remembers when they said it was going to run at 60 frames and how they lied and backpedaled on that?
I can barely get 60 FPS on my computer.
And it's good.
Yeah.
I'm sure I won't even be able to get that with mine, and I gotta.
Oh, shut the fuck up. You know you will.
I got an 1800X AMD Ryzen. I said that completely backwards. Sorry for all you elitists.
And he's got a 1080. What an asshole.
I got a 1080i.
Oh, fuck you doubly.
Yeah, that thing run good. I got 11,000 megabytes of VRAM.
Well, you
and
can.
Destiny only takes up 2,500 on ultra settings.
Well, you can shove all them extra VRAMs up your ass because
it's okay.
Because you're not going to need them for the next category, best indie games. Now, we're not going to go over. Prefacing the rest of this, we're not going to be going over the rest, a lot of the other categories.
The highlights that we like want to talk about care about usually.
Yeah, the only other one we're going to talk about is most anticipated because, well, that leads on to, you know, for next year. But best indie game, it was no surprise. It was Cuphead. I mean, Cuphead is a game that's had years.
Oh, man, who didn't
of,
see that one come? What was it, like 3-4 years now?
It's been, I mean, it's had consistent hype for 3-4 years, and it delivered.
It sure did.
No one saw it being that hard, but it delivered. The other games that were.
Right. I played that on PC. I was like, I need the controller. I can't do this keyboard game. I'm sorry.
The other nominees were Hellblade, Night in the Woods, Pier, and What Remains of Edith Finch.
Good contenders,
but nothing was going to hit Cuphead.
No.
I mean, just the another great example. A game just so fucking polished.
All the views.
All the YouTube views.
All the YouTube views and all the stream views.
Oh my. Okay, so a quick shout out to one of our Twitch streamers that we've worked with, Parallax Stella. She actually has been streaming it, and I'm not going to lie, watching people rage the fuck out is hilarious.
It sure is. I've never thrown a controller, but I was feeling about karate chopping my desk playing Cuphead.
Whatcha?
Pretty much, man. I was ready. I was like, you know what? This is a cute looking game. Why am I getting so pissed off because Cuphead won't jump the way I want him to jump?
Jump, goddammit!
Right. Just shoot it.
Right.
Well, the thing I did is I used the revolving shot that just does the circle little blade.
I just
spam that to death. I just jump around and forget that it's even there.
So did you beat it?
I made it good. I made it fairly well, but then I got a new rig and lost the save file. So I have to restart all over again.
Oh, dear.
Then again, the thing that helps me is you ever wonder why we talked about audio when a lot of that gets looked over. I'm a musician.
Yeah.
I'm a musician. I enjoy it. I do all the recordings and stuff. I have been since I was a little boy. And you know, for me, for a Aww. Game like that, is I always liked Hellfire Shooters or Bullet Hell Shooters. That's the technical term.
Honestly, Hellfire Shooter sounds like a great name for a game.
There you go. Hellfire Shooter EX plus Alpha. We'll take the Street Fighter approach. And then, you know, Cuphead is also just like a, you know, rhythm. And since being a musician helps because I already have the rhythm and the timing, so it helps me. Now, to say that makes the game easy for me, hell no. You know, I find it funny when you look at the results screen, it says, you can play this in 2 minutes and 57 seconds. I look up at the clock, it's been 45 minutes, like, you fucking lied to me.
You liar.
I've died like 30 times on this boss, I'm gonna throw my controller in a moving car's direction.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at the games that are on most anticipated.
Oh, man, what do we got for most anticipated? Do I see a God of War there?
Yeah, God of War, the new one for PS4.
What else is it going to be on?
I forgot that it was Sony exclusive. Bite
it sure
me.
Is.
Marvel's Spider-Man. I don't see that. Okay, there hasn't been a good Spider-Man game since Spider-Man 2.
I'm about to say, since what, 2004?
Man, 04 was great for games. Didn't, like, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, didn't Tony Hawk's Underground come out? Anyways.
Somewhere around there. I mean, that was, like, the height of the PS2, because that was 2001 it released in America.
Yeah.
2000 in Japan.
Let's see. Monster Hunter World. I guess I can see that. Okay, the last two I could totally see, though. Red Dead Redemption 2. Holy fuck.
Oh, I have a quick thing on GTA about that when we're done.
And then The Last of Us Part 2.
Ooh, there you go.
I mean, holy shit. You want to talk about great single-player experiences.
Of course. Look at Red Dead 1 and The Last of Us Part 1.
I'll be honest. Last of Us 2, The Last of Us had a better story than The Walking Dead ever has.
Well, yeah, I've never played it because, again, I never owned a PS3, PS4, but I heard about, like, what the plague was, and I was like, that's actually kind of original, because usually, oh, it's a virus.
But to have it be based off of an actual, no, it's not a plant, it's a fungi.
It's an actual fungi that actually does this, but it can't do species crossing.
Yet.
Like it does, you know, yeah, yet. But it does in this game. I was like, you know what?
And then
that's a nice, a little original tale.
And the funny thing is, it deals with a lot of the same exact tropes and issues and themes as The Walking Dead,
as you'd expect.
But it does
the genre. But it does it well.
It does it even better. Because let's be honest, the first couple seasons of Walking Dead are fantastic.
I gave up after the Governor arc. I was like,
fair enough.
I give up.
But I think part of it is the fact that it was a tight story told in a singular instance. It's not, I mean, all these shows are getting drug out season after season after season.
They're copying AAA gaming now.
Oh, dear. Or anime.
Could you imagine a season pass for your TV shows? It's called Netflix.
Oh.
My bad.
Well, but I mean, I think they get it more from anime than anything. Heck,
of course.
Remember the Frieza fight? And it was like, what, 60 episodes?
Oh my god!
I mean, for God's sake, I can't think of Cell wasn't as long.
Yeah, it was short. That thing freaked.
Comparatively
out.
Speaking,
I'm remembering that scene in Dragon Ball Z now where you who's it? Krillin watches him suck the person dry to nothingness.
That was Piccolo.
Yeah, Piccolo watches it.
Oh, dude, my God, that was horrifying.
That horrified my soul.
Because, like, you watch the body melt.
This. Yeah, and you're watching it melt and, like, just implode. And you got the skin and bone, and then all of a sudden just cuts to nothing. Ooh, my nightmares. Thank you, Dragon Ball. I mean, thank you, Dark Souls.
I mean, other games. I mean, Cuphead. I mean,
anything hard.
So about those most anticipated games.
Yeah, we'll get back to that. Sorry, that was a weird tangent we went on there.
It's all good. So most anticipated game, Last of Us Part 2. I mean, okay, there's only 3 games I could see winning this. Last of Us Part 2, Red Dead Redemption 2, and then God of War.
Yeah.
I don't think God of War really ever reached the heights they quite thought it would after the first one.
No.
I mean, great game series.
They're still good.
Yeah.
It's a classic hack and slash. I mean, you can't go wrong. I mean, that's the de facto in that genre. I don't see many other hack and slashes that are AAA
Bayonetta, maybe.
Oh, yeah. But Bayonetta 3 is coming out next year.
But, I mean, Last of Us Part 2, absolutely. But, you know, one thing that I notice is a lot of these games, it's like, this seems out of left field. By the way, it's a AAA title. Like, right. Marvel's Spider-Man.
Right.
Destiny 2. Okay, it was blatant with Destiny 2.
Destiny 2, yes.
I haven't really heard.
It's mediocre.
I haven't heard anybody. Like, I've heard a lot of people say, yeah, I like the game. I have not heard anybody
heard
be like,
I love.
I've never heard anybody say, love. I love Destiny 2. I have
just
not.
Like, yeah, it's good. I was like, really? Like,
even a lot of the streamers, it seems like they streamed it because
they
of the hype.
For the views.
They streamed it for the hype.
It's the views.
But then, once the hype died down, it's like, okay, let me just stream the games I like streaming.
Yeah, I'm putting the game down. I'm never touching this one again.
Exactly. And,
well, because, you know, I put in hosts. So many hours in Destiny 1, and I even said back then, I was like, this game is mediocre. I'm just playing it to pass the time at this point, because I, at the time when I had that X-Bone, it was that plus, like, two other games I owned at the time, which was Call of Mountain Duty, Advanced Warfare. No, I'm not kidding. I have my Mountain Dew boots from redeeming it from a Mountain Dew can or bottle. I was like, you know, that's probably one of the most rare outfits is Call of Duty. I only got the boots. I was like, I wonder what the whole suit looks like.
I wish you had it in real life.
Can you imagine people walking around with green hexagonal pattern or wireframe pattern Mountain Dew boots? Just has the Mountain Dew on like the bottom of the shoe got lifted up.
Yes, I can imagine it because I know a lot of assholes who would do it. But
you gotta get your Doritos shirt and hat.
Indeed.
Ooh. Can you imagine someone walk around like left foot's Dorito, right foot Mountain Dew?
That would just be D.Va from Overwatch.
Ooh, shots fired at your own favorite game.
Yeah, well,
kill
whatever.
Me now.
Speaking of Overwatch, actually, I guess we should talk about the last thing, and we've kind of brought it up, which is the idea of loot boxes being outlawed.
Ooh,
and
how
kind
exciting.
Of our opinions on this.
Uh-oh.
I mean,
we're getting to some fresh takes, kids.
So the state of Hawaii has already tried to. Belgium has technically said that they're going to, but at the same time, they haven't. They're kind of...
they're on the fence.
They're pancaking about it.
Why not? Flip-flop for everyone to see.
Indeed. So according to the Belgian news site, RTBF, Belgium's Gaming Commission, because a lot of... I mean, that'd be like the ESRB, I think, for
Yeah, that would
us.
Be their almost equivalent.
They haven't actually finalized whether loot boxes are considered gambling. However, what they're saying is the mixture of money and addiction is a game of chance.
Right.
And at the end of the day, that's what a lot of this is.
Right.
And I mean, what do you think? Do you think loot boxes should be included in games that are rated anything below M or even AO? Or do you think it's fine for a game with an E or a T rating to have this kind of a aspect to it?
You know, and you could make the argument, oh, but what if they were free? But what you're doing is you're still creating that addictive personality in this child. I told this to a buddy of mine, games aren't made for us anymore. People who are like 18 and older and in their 20s and 30s, they're made for the 14-year-old kid who lives down the street from you because they're so susceptible to these things. And the parents just like, here, honey, here's my debit or credit card
and
in your
system. That's the problem. You've
they're
got
not
these
made
kids,
for us.
You've got these kids like putting $400 in this shit.
And how about the guy who put like 10 grand in Mass Effect Andromeda? He was a gambling addict and he came out about it and how it destroyed his life. I was like, it sure did. But a game, you know. You
what a shitty game to destroy your life over.
I know. What'd you buy? Better dialogue syncing for the mouths?
Better facial expressions.
Better facial expressions. Was that a DLC? I could have gotten that one. But anyway, you know, you have like those people being addicted to this stuff. And, you know, they, like I said, they don't make games for us anymore, the adults. They're all for the kiddies. So, ooh, how scary would this be? Nintendo embraces loot boxes and Super Mario World Odyssey.
You got to get them hats somehow, but...
ooh.
Now, okay.
Oh, there you go, Sonic Team. There you go. That might save your company from bankruptcy for Sonic.
Again. But, okay.
Again.
Now, here's a question that I've got for you. Now, do you remember when this was a big problem with mobile games?
Ooh,
and
yes,
still kind
I
of
do.
Is.
I still hate mobile games on Android.
But, like,
Play Store's a wasteland.
Didn't the Play Store ban games that were directed towards kids that had those aspects? Because what
they
winds
try,
up happening.
But they're still there.
But it's enforced to a degree, right?
Maybe. I don't know. Google has pretty free rules. I think iOS might be more strict on it.
I think it's iOS. But yeah, here's the thing is, it's enforced. I mean,
Google's just the wasteland of things.
I think
it's enforced to a degree.
Yeah.
But there are still a lot of kids' games with microtransactions and loot box gambling just in general.
And I guess that's my thing. It's like, I mean, gambling. Well,
I know
a
great example.
This is a form of gambling. I mean, I remember
that's,
you and
that's,
I.
That's what it is.
I remember you and I talking about this when with CS:GO, that CS:GO service thing. It was
it was
gambling.
The CS:GO Lotto. Thank you, T. Martin and
Gold Glove,
and who's the other one?
I forget.
No, it's T. Martin and Pro Syndicate.
I don't know. All I remember is that they got ripped on during the Twitch roast at TwitchCon.
And Pro Syndicate played it smart and kept his head down and his mouth shut and let it blow over, where T. Martin opened his mouth and got more backlash.
Pretty much.
Good job, buddy boy.
But I think that's the thing, is the backlash that's coming from this stuff. And do these kinds of games need – does that need to be something that ESRB considers in its ratings? And that's what I care more about, not even whether or not it's gambling. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's pretty clear. It's gambling.
That's what it is. You are giving a set amount of real-world money for a chance at a random drop. You are playing a virtual slot machine, because they do the same tactics of they give you the freebies, they give you these cool ones that you win really high items, so you just want to spend that money.
That happened to me with
– make it look flashy.
Well, here's the thing. In China, Overwatch – well, actually, loot boxes at all – have to have their probabilities shown.
They have to be shown legally. America, we don't do that because we're.
I think that that would be a good.
It's a good step forward.
I think that that would be a compromise that could work, because I think that the two things that need to happen is we need to know what our chances.
Who's going
to
read that probability? I mean, the average person doesn't care.
So long,
they just want to roll the dice.
But so long as it's there, and so long as the ESRB considers it in their rating systems,
right.
I think that that's a good compromise.
It can be, yeah.
I mean, I don't really think the government needs to get in their hands involved too much.
Something, but, you know, if you don't do something about it, you know, it's just going to be a road to ruin, because, you know, they're not gonna take gaming seriously anymore. You know, the media and the government, they're going to make fun of us again like they have been for such a long time. Back when Postal 2 came out, like, oh, this video game is so violent, it's going to ruin your kids. Anyone remember Hatred? How Steam banned it temporarily because it was too edgy and too shocking, although it really wasn't anything. It was just like a cute little psychopath homicide simulator.
I wouldn't call it cute, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, sarcastically cute. I mean, and then once it came out, I just kept hearing about this game's actually kind of trash, even mechanically.
So, I mean, that's just kind of what it is, but I don't know. I mean, this has been a weird end, like, kind of rolling towards the end of 2017.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, between these games,
the future,
and the loot boxes. So, I don't know. But either way, thank you guys so much for tuning in to the first edition of The Name Doesn't Matter, #TNDM, sponsored by Slickster Magazine. Do you have any parting words of wisdom there, Mr. Mango?
Well, hopefully you enjoyed. If you didn't enjoy, Have fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess for those that didn't enjoy this, we just probably won't see them next time. So
that's okay. We'll still get their money one day.
For those of you that we haven't turned off yet, we will see you guys next time. See ya.
Goodbye, everyone.